My idea is to explain about how the kings of the Crown of Aragon used the astrology, especially in the late medieval ages. We have the archives in Barcelona, the archive of the Crown of Aragon, with absolutely inexplored documentation, with a bit of documentation that's allowed to know some using of the of all this. First, we need to say that my subject was, I arrived to astrology studying about the power of the king. So how is the territory and how the king used the power, how can to enforce the power. So because first I need to say that the medieval power was always pacted. The fragmentation of jurisdiction and incomes led to power being based on the pact between the sovereign and the different holders of power, as seen institutionally in parliaments based precisely on the pact between the monarch and the states. This is how in the late medieval ages generate the right of consent and the group talking about an assuming notion of representativity. This being a relation based on agreement, the situation differed enormously within the place, but it depends on the respective forces. In the case of the Crown of Aragon, attempts were made to accompany the discourses in favor of royal preeminence, sustained by Romanist jurists, form royal circles with strategies to increase the territorialization of royal power and improvement of administration. Nevertheless, these measures were overwhelmed in both. In 13th century, when royal power was physically relayed by the emergency of the bourgeoisie and the rise of baronial power, who five times rejected loyalty to the monarch, and in the 14th century, when the financial needs of the crown obliged the monarch to depend on the monetary backing of the states, further aggravating the serious lack of jurisdiction and income characterized the monarch. In this context, more than ever, the monarch needed arguments to help him to strengthen his position. If the stars also collaborated a royal position, they too became a very important factor. In the general dynamic that affected Europe in the whole of the 14th century, royal houses, the Crown of Aragon became to interpreting the will of the heavenly bodies and molding itself to this. The evolution of the maintenance of the stars in the discourse of royal power in the 15th century is a very interesting that ultimately marks the change from the Middle Ages to the Renaissance. So, let's start with the context. The stars at the everyday life in the 14th century, according with research in the notary's documentation in the Crown of Aragon, especially in Barcelona, we know that the beginning of 14th century, the influence of the stars, and especially the moon, on everyday life was fully accepted. People were convinced that the position of the moon was of vital importance for establishing those days that were propitious and harmful, and that marked the fate of the newborn, the viability of dreams, and the species for journeys, business, and wedding, or for letting blood. This is very important. Bloodletting was an important as a medicine, as it was for rebalancing humors, it's very known. In general, it was strongly advised against on the 15th, 14th, 20th, 25th, and 13th of each month, due to the position of the moon, and was more favorable from April to June. A Berber was tried in Barcelona in the early 15th century for bloodletting on a bad day, with the result of death, and was accused of having done it when the position of the moon advised against it. He was condemned a death penalty. In fact, a century earlier, the king, Alfonso de Benin, Alfonso III, prohibited the barbers in Valencia from bloodletting when the moon was not in the right phase. If bloodletting were to be done well, care must be taken with the details that the heavenly bodies indicated. In Incono manuscript, that is in Paris, the manuscript 215, Spanish manuscript, detail bloodletting throughout the year in its days in relation with the moon and the horoscope. That's for example, only one example. In Mars, say, Lluna primera és la segona del signe d'Aries, so this is the light. The first and second moon in the month, in Mars, is the sign of Aries, good for bloodletting for heat. The third and fourth, the moon is in Taurus, is very bad for bloodletting for the neck. And the barbers need to act that all the year is absolutely congruent. The first and sixth is moon in Gemini, bad for bloodletting from arms, and this is very concrete, developed all the year, etc. Thus, the position of the moon and the star sign were determined factors for bloodletting, but is also an example of what's happening with other activities. Very significantly, some notaries marked the first page of their book with inauspicious days, envisaging for the coming year. Consequently, merchants who had to take decisions about business and especially about making journeys required equipment to enable them to calculate the stars quickly. These were the stars' wheel, that were willingly found in Europe at the turn of the century between the 13th and 14th century. Among the inventories of private property registered in the notarial accounts in Barcelona in the beginning of 14th century, we find mention of tabula fuste de compoto, computatorium de fuste, or clearly computatum lune. According to the descriptions by the notaries doing the inventories, these apparatus had two within wheels to enable the daily longitude of the sun to be calculated together with the position of the moon and then apply this to astrological knowledge. This was in the houses of the merchants. The 14th century saw the dysfunction accentuated and emphasized through such works on astrological knowledge as the Atlas by Abraham Cresques, writing in the middle of the century in Majorca, and was linking the description of the Earth to that of the stars with instruction about how to relate this to giving it the adequate utility, especially for sailors, merchants, and other professionals who require mobility. Thus, there was shared concern about the concourse of the heavenly bodies and their influence on everyday life, the point where this conditioned everyday activities. This is the context we could find in the notaries' archive, especially to recording the everyday life in the Crown of Aragon at the start of 14th century. And how about the Catalan Aragonese court, the crown, the king? So, like its European contemporaries, the Aragonese court was itinerant. In the 13th century, Valencia had been added to the Union of Catalonia and Aragon. This is the union of three states, Catalonia, Aragon, and Valence. And each one of these territories had come together internally thanks to the dynamics of the respective societies and the incapacity of the monarchy to unite the territories. Thus, there were three parliaments and few common institutions had been established at the end of the 13th century. Moreover, in the expansive dynamic, Mallorca has been conquered from to the Muslims, although James I ceded it to his second son, James, together with the counties of Roussillon and Cerdanya, thus creating a kingdom of Mallorca. After, in the 283, Peter the Great married to Constant, the daughter of Manfred of Sicily, and due to the relation was called on by the Sicilian nobles to extract the island from the domain of the French Anjou. And this tension led to the Treaty of Anagni, under which the King of Aragon, James II, received the new kingdom of Corsica and Sardinia. I present this sitting because it means that there were three neighboring kingdoms, Aragon, Mallorca, and Sicily, under the same dynasty, closely related and sharing Catalan culture. In the first half of the 14th century, the three royal courts shared not only political strategies, but also almost identical cultural attitudes and options religious. This is Sicily, Mallorca, and Aragon. This is the three different kingdoms, but with the absolutely similar evolution, and absolutely they are in touch all the time. At the time, Just at the time when the church was strongly divided between Aristotelian realist and spiritualist, the spiritualists through the Franciscans were well received in the three Catalan courts, where the Franciscans had a great influence and where they applied the traits of the spirituality current with numerous visions and ways to interpret God's wills. Under the guidance of Arnau de Vilanova, Frederick of Sicily converted his kingdom into an experiment of a Christian spiritualist reign. This was the context of the Visionaries, the Catalan Vicars, the Fraticelli. This was a very receptive context to scrutinize all the signs of God. There was, for example, a great interest of deciphering the Apocalypse, which had to offer up the keys about the end of the time. James II asked about this about Arnau de Vilanova. This is about a lot of conversation about the kings with Pere Olivi, Arnau de Vilanova, all this. Also is the very great interest in the books of geomancy. There was a very good interest about our alchemy. So this is the very receptive place for all this scrutinize the destiny. The interest in interpreting nature continued with the following kings, the three courts, Sicily, Mallorca, and Crown of Aragon, the capital, Barcelona. All the century we could find, like the kings are asking for the books about all these subjects. At the same time, all this century, the kings are more receptive to the visions. For example, at the beginning of the century, James II expressed his reserves about interpreting dreams. He has some letters about Pere Olivi about this, Pere Olivi. But in the end of the century, John I was absolutely receptive to dreams and vision. He's looking of, he was looking for all the people who has visions. For example, he asked in 1319 about the prevere appellat per loc, lo qual és poblat de Sant Pere, que té moltes revelacions. A priest call it per alegit, who live in Sant Pere Pescador, and he have a lot of revelations, and the king is attentive to this and is looking for these people who has revelations, who has visions. So it's a context absolutely with a very big receptivity to all this. So knowing this in this context, what happened with the knowing the stars in the royal court? We need to start with the presence of the physician, astrologer, and other counselors who interpreted the stars in the same court, in the same context of the king. In this context, so the king was very attentive to the stars, and so the right help. In first place, the astrologer has access to the court. The astrologer tended to be a doctor, a medicine, more precisely, a physician all the time. In the Catalan sources, the difference between the bachelor in arts and medicine, on one hand, and physician and the author, is that the latter, the physician, include all the time the influence of the stars in all the phases of the medical act. The etiology, the diagnosis, the evolution, the prognosis, and the treatment of the diseases. This the same practice was in fact found in the neighboring courts as in France or Navarra. Many of these physicians were Jews, especially in the 13th century. In the 14th century, many prominent doctors, astrologers, such as Bartolomeu de Tresvens, served the kings. In the 14th century, they were not Jews, but they was also there was a physician. For example, Bartolomeu Tresvens, that is the doctor of the Peter de Ceremonies, he said this, metge seu en la part física i en les arts de filosofia. That is the doctor in the physical part and expert in philosophy. In other cases, the very specialized according to the middle of 14th century, the king had them a permanent members of the court. There are an astrologer always in the court. This is the official astrologer. Under the Peter de Ceremonios, Dalmau Sesplanas, Dalmau Planas, is the astrologer of the court. He is the astrologer of the country. He was at the king's side for decades as the physician and the astrologer of the king. His work basically consisting of, his work was writing books of astronomy, building astrolabes, and using this material adequately for the health of the king and for the interpretation of the stars. On other occasions, the monarch sought the service of specific astrologers, especially if they were recognized. We have a lot of documentation that the king called some astrologers. Peter de Ceremonios, in 1345, called Magistro Guillem Lunel, astrologo, cum ad presentiam nostra venire iubemus. Many times when the king called the astrologer with his books. He said, for example, in 1373, he called Bartolomeo de Tres Vents, who say, com per la nostra letra vos hayam escrit, nostra persona, that is the we need for the necessities of our person, we say that you must to travel to us with all your books, both astrology and physics. We wish an order that you come quickly to us, bringing with you all your books that you need, both astrology and medicine. The request for books on astrology and medicine suggests health problems, but in other times, the king asks only for the books of astrology, about astrology. In 1378, the same king asked the astrologer, another one, the Jew Joseph Abernaduc, that was very famous, to go with the astrolabe and all the books on astrology. We order that with your astrolabe and the books and your books of astrology. Also, in other cases, we have the situations when the king asked for the astrologer. Of our case, that we have the astrologer in the court. Also, another time, the king has the conversation with different astrologers. For example, the king John the First. So the friendship and council of those who need about astrology. The most outstanding example was the singular bishop of Lleida, Jaume Sitjó, who advised the king about genealogy, literature, and astronomy. We have the letters, the bishop and the king had the letters among them about astrology. Oh. What happened with all this, with these books and tools of the heavenly bodies in the royal court? So the royal court filled it up with books on astrology adequately stored. We have a lot of books of astrology in the royal court. The king had them copied and specially translated. Moreover, he made sure they were well decorated. We have a lot of documentation when the king paid for the translation and for the decoration of the books. Alphonse de Benigna, 320, spent 73 shillings and 8 pennies to copy of 26 sheets of the book, Libre of the Eclipse, the Sol y de la Luna, the book of the Eclipse, the Sun and the Moon, including the cost of the pintadas formas, painting the forms of the Sun and the Moon, and especially the quality, because normally they offer adequately sumptuous presentation. Tancadors d'argent de plata, clasp all of silvers. All the time, the king asked for the translation of the books. This is very important because you have the books right first in normally in Arab, in Arabic language, and they need to translate to Romance language. And after, that means that the books on astrology had an extra cost due to the quality of the figures they had contained and efforts were made to translate them and to make an adequate use and for the same king. Have the many books, for example, they say that they have writing in two columns, one in Arab, another one in Catalan. From these books, however, new ones were made as they allowed the predictions to be adjusted to the current times. That is why the king ordered the astrologer to write new books. This was the main task of the palace astrologers. In 1359, for example, Peter the Ceremonious commissioned Dalmau's Planes, this is the official astrologer of the country, and another one, the master Pere Gilbert, to write a new Libre d'Astrologia, a new book of astrology, and ordered the former that com millor perfecia, like best possible, sent to him sense tardanza, without delay. Significantly, to prepare this book, the king gave permission for the author, Dalmau Planas, to consult the contents of the royal library, although he would have to do so one book after another. Thus the king explained this to the Tinent de Claus, that is the master of the keys to our archive. This is a letter of the king to the master of the keys to our archive of the arms. In our palace in Barcelona, we have ordered the faithful of our house, Dalmau's Planas, that with our books of the art of astrology from our archive, he make a book for us on said art. And they explain how they need to use these books without keep the books. Writing these books was one of the jobs for the palace astronomer. So just over 20 years later, the same king, Peter the Ceremonious, has ordered another book from the same astrologer, the Dalmau's Planas. In 1378, the monarch complained to Treasure that they need to pay the same astrologer for another book. He said that the different payments about this. In all these cases, the commission was to fer un llibre de la dita art d'astrologia, make a book of this art of astrology, but without specifically the contents. However, the reiteration in the request let us think that these were books to be used, and that thus there was the need to have them up to date to ensure their usefulness. There is clear evidence of the use of the Book of Astrology. We have a lot of documentation about how the king used these books. In 1362, the king ordered the book on astrolabes he had in his archive to be taken to him, and clearly states that he was referring to the one book, two columns, one in Catalan, another one in Arab, and explain how is this book. And he ordered that this book must be straight of the library and take with the king. We need a book with specifically below that is in our archive in Barcelona, so we wish and order you to enter as soon as possible and send us, and we are in Torrella, this is a place in Catalonia, which this book is, and describe the book. In fact, King Peter the Ceremonious, who had a difficult relation with his son, John, had problems about the using of these books of astrology, because the son of the king, the prince John, used all the time the books of astrology of the library of the king. And he is angry because he don't want the son touch his books. And he's saying this, sorry, because I use your books, you know that you don't want to use. say this and explain all this another time. And the king say another, it's very interesting because they saw, so, they say, for example, com haureig més té llibres que nos hallam, fer-m'ho saber, i us els deixarem copiar. He say this, when you have need of our books, let us know, this is the king to his son. We will have a copy for you, but leave the book in the library, but we get the copy. Please don't get the book. This is the time. But another time, we have the similar letters a lot of time. We have many letters about this, that the prince used the books of the king, about astrology always, and they keep the books and have a lot of documentation reclaiming these books and the discussion between the king and the son about where is the book, who is using this book. So there is no doubt that king read and used the astrology books. We have a lot of discussions about the use of these books by the son of the king. Also, in 1375, the Prince John wrote, for example, to Joan Janer to ask for explanations about one of the books by Dalmau's Planas. Dalmau's Planas is the official astrologer that was all the times writing new books. He say, for example, we have received by the hand of Master Guillaume Coulthalier one book that Dalmau's Planas has sent us about the eclipses of the sun and the moon and the turning of the fullness of the moon. And we don't know if the count done of the hours of the said turning and fullness have to start to count with the sun or with the middle or with the moon or when. And so may him tell you then confirm it clearly in the letter by your hand. So the son is demanding how to use the book, how interpretation the book. That means that the Prince John is writing the is reading the book and ask how interpret it. Also, the kings also use it astrolabes. For example, Peter the Ceremonious bought one in 1316. And also his son, John I, has a special interest in acquiring astrolabes. They attract a lot of astrolabes, have a lot of the bills about the astrolabes. For example, in 1318, he wrote the governor of Mallorca to mention that he had information about two Jews who made good astrolabes, and one has one of this book, and this Antesa Bem, we understand that there are two Jews who are good masters for making astrolabe, and I ask and order you that if one of these Jews has a good astrolabe, that will be good and fine, and another one is bigger than other, please keep the astrolabe for me, and just ask the astrolabe all the time. We have a lot of information about the king asking for astrolabe. Also, we have also, the kings also owned spheres, with all the pieces to simulate the circulation of the heavenly bodies. Building these spheres was one of the jobs of the palace astronomers. Thus, the same Dalmau Planas, who Peter the Ceremonious has commissioned to write the book on astrology, was ordered to build a sphere in 1362. He was paid 50 florins and other more. I have all the relation of the money, of the currency for this, how must be use this sphere, and also where must be this sphere. He said, Volem emanam, que hi tan comporet, es patxes la gans. He said that the sphere may be taking place in the library of the king, but the astrologers say if the sphere is in the library, there are no place for the sphere or for the library, for the books. And the king say that we need to get out the books. Say, Volem emanam, as we have agreed that the sphere we had made should be in the chamber where the books are. So we wish an order that as soon as you can, make a space in the chamber, moving aside the chest of books, to the safe sphere can fit well, and if the sphere's taking up the whole chamber, take out all the books and put them in the archive and leave the sphere at this mentioned chamber. So this is the sphere's best than the books. Also, we have the clocks had a similar astrological meaning. In 1345, Peter the Ceremonious ordered a clock and an astrolabe that belonging to the Dr. Ferran de Besa, that is died. And he asking for the Comnus Horologium et Astrolabium, he's asking for this. All the time, he's asking for the clocks that he allowed it to know the time with precision, as well as the position of the stars and the zodiac. So that's the permanent presence of the physicians who were considered as astrologers to the royal court, the king's passionate use of the books of astrology and such apparatus as astrolabes, spheres, and clocks, show the important presence of astrology in the royal court in the crown of Aragon. Now we must ask ourselves what the aim and the purpose of all this was. The purpose being royal consultation of the stars. In first place, there was the desire to understand how the stars worked and to marvel at the precision of at the inherent divine design. The same King Peter said as much in 1376 when describing to his daughter the clock which he had to her, in which one could tell the time and the connection with the zodiac. He said, so as said Ferrero has said that you will be greatly pleasure to have a clock, we send you from him a small one with four bells, which will strike the hours that you wish them to strike, and it from there is a neat astrolabe that takes 24 hours to move between night and day, and through the movements of the wheels move the moon, and if it is stopped, as you will see to the sky, and saying is explain all the vision of the stars. He say another thing very important. He say, the king say, car tota nostra senyoria es sota los graus de sus dits. So that means, given that all our power is under the degrees mentioned of the stars, so we let you know that every place where you go, you must know how to calculate the altitude north that there is in the place. Explain the use of the clock, because it's absolutely important, because tota nostra senyoria esos los graus de sus dits, given that our power is under the degrees of mentioned. So this personal letter from father to tota shows that both were experienced in understanding these elements and how to interpret the relation with the zodiac. This concordance between the time on Earth at the signs of the zodiac in the celestial spheres suddenly came from being convinced about their reality and thus their influence. Coherently, the author read purpose of this astrology was for medicine. Not in vain were astrologers and physicians, the same person under the definition of the physician. The combination of the stars linked to the combination of the humors of medicine, giving this great coherence. The practice of the palace physician meant permanent consultation of the heavenly bodies was advisable with the combination between the position of the stars and the measurement of the humors. The relation could be taken far beyond the human body. Also, the end of 15th century is explained by Bernardo Ferrer that the conflict between the Ferdinand the Catholic of Castile and Aragon and Louis XII of France as due to the position of the stars at the birth, which would make the impossibility of mutual understanding. This is the reason that is absolutely important to know how was the position of the stars. Thus, there is the crucial point in the influence of the stars and their position at the moment of birth of the people, the birth of the people. This is known as the nativities, the nativitas, nativities. The nativities are more important, it is repeated all the time. The nativities explain the compatibilities and the incompatibilities throughout one's life derived from this, from the position of the stars in the moment of the birth. Knowledge of these nativities is important for everyone, but especially for a ruler. This was the argument of one of the astrologers very famous, Bartolomeu de Tres Vents. In the heading of the book he dedicated to Pedro de Ceremonios, he say, this is an unpublished book whose manuscript in the Biblioteca Nacional de France. He say, a totes les gens que viuen segons raó, that is, to all those people who live according to reason and the law, it will be good to know the position of the heavenly bodies when someone is born. Even more, so the kings and lords and nobles who God has placed to rule over the authors. Thus, astrology is defined as one of the tools of the good government. At least, it will be used for the king to know the natalities, the nativities, and taking decisions based on this knowledge. The same author tells us that the book he wrote on the orders of Peter the Ceremonious, Peter the Third, as the monarch understood this use of astrology. Entès, doncs, he considerat lo molt al poderós senyor rei Pere Lothers, que aquestes coses són raonables i considerables, perquè a un rei en especial són necessàries de la ciència de l'astrologia. So, our powerful highness, Peter the Third, King of Aragon, understanding and considering that these things are reasonable in mind, the author thinks that for the king are especially necessary. This is the coses que a un rei en especial són necessàries. For a king is especially necessary. For the science of astrology, we have ordered that book to be made in the form and the order below to make understood the essence of the true elements of the science. He continues explaining that thanks to knowing this book, knowing the astrology, the monarch could prevent that malastre events, the bad stars winds, and especially predict malastre e inclinacions desordenades, bad stars and the disordered inclinations. This avoided giving the idea of fate. What is important is to have knowledge of the inclinations supplied by the natalities, the nativities, and from here make efforts to correct this in accordance with Christian doctrine. This is important because you want to avoid the idea of the fate. This is the stars make the influence, make the orientation, but we have the liberty, we need to know this for the freedom to correct this. However, given this prevention regarding the conditioning of life by the stars, this can condition the facts themselves. Knowing how the decipher this allowed the future to be predicted to an extent, here the other aspect of astrology comes into play, knowing the revolutions. As you know, the revolutions are the turns that is expected the stars will do over a certain period, which let one go forward one in time and predict what will happen. This is clearly what John the First aimed to do. In 1346, with the Viscount of Roda in Paris, he wrote to him, to Viscount of Roda, with instructions to acquire important books. And he said this, by two now well-known astrologers to enable him to compare and contrast them. So he said, sent us the movement of this year and the next done by the master Thomas de Bologna and the other one by the master Lunel, so that we can see the explanation of each one of these and check, compare, if they agree with each author and if not, so we can know it was. In other words, he aimed to acquire the planification that two different astrologers had done for the year in question and the following and compare this. It is evident that he wanted to know the immediate future. And he asked for this, the different books of the different astrologers and compare one astrologer and another. Given the influence of the stars, astrology was important for the beginning of any activity. This is absolutely important, the activities of the king. I would like to present a very specific document about a very small event, but which is highly indicative. This is a published document that I have localized in the archive of the Crown of Aragon, in which on the 13th October 1361, King Peter the Grand, the ceremonious, explained that the works to extend his palace in Barcelona had to start with the laying of the first stone at the exact moment when the astral combination was favorable. Thus, he said, sobre l'oposament de la primera pedra de l'obra, la qual de present fem fer en el Palau de Barcelona. That means about the laying of the first stone of the work we have done on the Palace of Barcelona. He explained that on 27 of the month, at half past two, exactly at half past two of the midday, the first stone can be laid in the foundation of that work. And if, by chance, on the 27th, at the mentioned time, for some reason, it is not possible to lay it, the next day, the 28th, in the same way, at the same time, it can be laid at also in the 22nd, on the same month, but 2 hours before the sun sets, and not after, and not before the time. This is the king who is writing this. The stone can be laid, and he is explaining the specific moment, the king say this, the specific moment when the first stone must be placed. And the king continued saying that he need not be consulted more about this, he don't need consulted again about this, because he was in Cervera, in the interior of Catalonia, very close to Lleida, but his doctor and astrologer, his physician, the mentioned, the Dalmauses Plana, was in Barcelona, and say, and d'aquest fet d'aquí avant no hi cal que escriurem, and you do not need to write more to me, because where I am, Master Dalmauses Planas is here in Barcelona, and who constantly will give you full information about this thing. So the king is explaining the exactly moment when the stone must be placed in, he said this, that in other case, we need to ask about the official astrologer because I am out of Barcelona. Thus, it is clear that the stars illuminate every important action, large or small, that the monarch considers significant. And the same way, the King Peter took this fact into consideration while laying the first stone of his palace, it must be imagined that he did the same in more aspects. However, the question now is to know the chronological reach of this behavior. Has astrology always maintained it this way? So I asked me about the chronology of the court of the astrologers. A way to start resolving this doubt is to look into the books used by the kings in the 14th century. We have a lot of documentation about the library and the books. Properly speaking, the books that the 14th century kings expressed interest in should be analyzed. We know that the books on astrology were of not interest by James II, the star at the beginning of the century, as he's linked to other kind of books, the legal holy books. A good number of astrology books appear in the collection of his son and heir, Alphonse II. Almost the 10% of all those he mentioned. I say that his son, Peter de Ceremonios, who wrote more than half a century, and his son. Nevertheless, we have other data that allowing us to clarify this. The percentage of astrology books used by Peter the Ceremonious is limited because he focused mainly on history books. Then, John I, in reality, lives surrounded by many indicators that reflecting the importance that he gave to the subject. Firstly, John I, he ordered all novelties that were known about astrology. As for example, he found about the different books that he was writing in different places of Europe. So for example, in 1385, he's writing to Florence and ask for together with different books, and he said this, un llibre d'un astròleg de Florència, as he said that I am looking for, he write this, the king, I am looking for a book that some astrologer living in Florence did for his son, and that is titled Exit Hereditas Tua. So we ask an order that you must look for this book and obtain these books and quickly arrive to Barcelona with this book. He's looking for the different books in the different place of Europe. He's writing another time, we have a lot of documentation, the looking for the new books and also the looking for the translation and the copies of the old books, the books from the specialized from the Muslim times, the 11th century. Similarly, the King John's was also very keen to obtain as many astrological tools, utensils as possible. He is looking for the astrologers when the astrologers died in different places of the country, and he's asking for the what happened with the astrolabe, with the different elements, the quadrants, the eclipses, the spheres, and they asking and they demand all this for the court. So the bibliography traditional has tended to see astrology as an extravagance of the court of the John I. This is the end of the 14th century. We have, for example, the recent work by Michael Ryan that qualifies the kingdom of Starger sense about this. But in reality, the question is what happened at the end of 14th century with all this court, all this presence of the astrologer in the court of the king. We need to know that in the mid-14th century, they have the problem about the astrology and the religion. And it's widely known, Nicolaus Resmus, even questioned the movement of the heavenly bodies around the hearth, and proposed that astrology should be restricted to mere entertainment, and thus the politics should be done as a science aimed at rallying the people rather than being rallied by the stars. Making astrology say many things could go against the religion. For example, Susan Conklin Magnus cited some years ago in the book published in 2009 that worshipping the stars was one of the accusations made against the pagans. It would be a criticism also levied against Christianity. From here, a difficult separation began between the scientific and religious parts of the stars. Precisely, the mentioned Bartolomeo de Tresvents explained in his work about the natalities, the nativities, that God was responsible for everything. And what the stars do is to establish God's will, and thus it is good to know about this, because this way humans can correct their bad learnings. The aim was to avoid giving the impression of predestination of the fate. It was absolutely preoccupied that they insist about to separate the idea of this is not a fate, this is not a predestination, this is only an inclination of the stars. And the responsibility of the Christian people is to check this and also to correct this. So in this context, we can compare the attitudes of the John I and his brother, Martin I, who succeeded at the end of the 14th century. Martin I acquired as many books on astrology, and Martin imposed limitations about the attitude of the John I. Martin was criticized for being too religious by Eximenes, of being almost ecclesiastical. In contrast, Eximenes praised the changes he imposed in other aspects, because from the culture aspects, this is more strictly. So, but in this context, Martin limited his dependence on astrology, but never stopped consulting the stars. It is an important qualification. Belief continued in the influence of the stars. Martin was still surrounded by the doctors and the physicians who knew the stars, and he was himself on the watch for eclipses and the movement of the heavenly bodies, analysis of the eclipses. So that's what was considered superstition was prevented from invading the terrain of religion, but the observation and explanation of the heavenly bodies continued. This is the effort is to separate the religion, the science, the observation and the explanation of the heavenly bodies. Martin died childless in 1410, And after 2 years interregnum, a new Castilian dynasty took power, the Trastámara. Although it was sometimes written that astrology should be banished, the new king, Ferdinand I, took the throne invoking the work of the astrologers, although it is true that he did so denoting a more formal aspect. Again, an unpublished manuscript in the Bibliothèque Nationale de France shows us the new king asking for the help of physics and astrology in 1450. That same year, the literary competition, the Gaia Ciencia, was restarted and was done so not only invoking the stars, but also the good making, the savoir-faire, of the astrologers, who had to seek the propitious moment. However, it is true that astrology lost dynamism and protagonism it had had in the previous century, and it itself became part of the new format of power in the 14th century. So what happened with the stars and the fate in the of the monarchy in the 15th century? It should be borne in mind that the Catalan-Aragonese monarchy was favored by the visions that allowing it to give itself an important mission to the fate of humanity. As Martin Orell indicates, the taking of Sicily in the 13th century generated a series of visions that benefit the monarchy and link it well in the 14th century with the visions arising from spiritualist Christianity to late towards the 15th century monarchies, where the success of Alfonso the Magnanimous in Naples and then the victory of Ferdinand the Catholic against Granada confirmed that God was reserving the greatest triumph of Christianity for this monarchy. In other words, recovering Constantinople and saying Mass in Jerusalem. The monarchy used these visions for its own benefit, and the heavenly bodies played their part. Firstly, Alfonso the Magnanimous, a lavish monarch who conquered Naples in 1442, set up court there and established a veritable Renaissance court. That is the context in which he adopted the motto attributed to Ptolemy, "Per sapiens dominabitur astris." The motto was then immortalized in art, for example, with Alfonso the Magnanimous taking two ecliptic and painting. We have the many images saying this. For example, the aerial vision that show the inside a Liberitas Augusta, and the other side the medal with the portrait of the king saying this: "Divus Alfonsus Rex Triumphator et Pacificus," and with a solar helmet and holding open book, in which book say, "Vir sapiens dominabitur astris." The sun helmet is Apollo, and it should be understood that astrology is the highest knowledge, and thus controlling it means the highest level of knowledge. The stars had thus come to back royal power. Shortly after, the king had the same symbolic game reproducing in painting, thanks to different works. For example, the more famous is the Juan de Juanes. He is the most powerful king, the one who dominates the knowledge and even culminates in the control of the stars. Alfonso died in 1458 and was succeeded by his brother, John II. The strong social and political tensions worsened by the monarch's long absence led to an institutional crisis because the institutions of the state claimed to bear the sovereignty as the representative of the land, while the monarch claimed the grace of God to justify a strong monarchy power. The tensions led a long civil war from the 1462 to the 1472, which the monarch won. On his death in 1479, the throne went to his son Ferdinand II, the first monarch who was the sovereign of both Aragon and Castile. A high level of friction continued with the states. The conflict permanent between the states and the king, the Cortes and the king. And that was reflected in many aspects, including literature, with the circulation of pamphlets in one sense or another. In a little known poem in favor of Ferdinand II, also This is also in the French Library, in the Bibliothèque Nationale de France, which praises the king for continuing the work of his father, John II, among the praise that is attributed to what he said de Castilian of the New Dynasty. Si miras los sabios que en ti florecieron y que fueron la fuente de sabiduría, verás lo que de este buen rey conocieron por ciencia profunda de astrología. If you look at the wise men who flourish in you, and that were the source of window, you will see that from this king they will know through deep science of astrology. The stars indeed are saving a less important role, but at the end of the Middle Ages, they were still being invoked in the discourses of the foundation of royal power in the crown of Aragon. Similarly, Ferdinand the Catholic concatenate the conquest of Granada, the expulsion of the Jews, the seizure of North Africa, the expansion to America. The revelation about God had given him multiplied. In this context, the mention of the stars were interpreted as signs of divine will. So it was said about Ferdinand the Catholic that el cielo no envió grandes señales, que no vieron a grandes personajes. The sky, does the heaven, does not send great signals that do not look at great characters. Thus his biograph came prepared by God's designs, attested to be the stars, given that the escribe el cielo, los astros, colines de cruz, los hechos de los varones ilustres, writes in the sky, in the stars, with lines of the cross done by the illustrious men. In fact, at this time, entering in the 16th century, the mention of the stars fled from the medieval meaning, and in contrast, more use is made by the typical Renaissance classical image. Thus, the praise of kings comparing them with the stars became more the classical literary reference than the medieval belief, as is reflected, for example, in the comparison with the sun and other heavenly bodies that were dedicated to Ferdinand the Catholic and his successor, the Emperor Charles I, the German, in the 16th century. So in the conclusion, we could say that it's rather exaggerated to see the crown of Aragon as a special cave, a kind of kingdom of Stargazers. However, it is true that the Royal Archive in Barcelona have preserved a great deal of documentation, almost uniquely in the European context, and that this allows us to document well a situation that would not have been very different in other neighboring cultural cores, such as France, for example, I think. And that its culmination arrived with the most friendly field of the king, John I. However, the last number of surviving documents let us penetrate the reality of what astrology meant and how it evolved, and to see how the kings included astrology into good government and then, at least, in the good propaganda. One way or another, the stars also contribute to strengthening the royal power. Well, I think, thank you so much.